Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 29th. Average home sold in county close to $400,000. Record average of $397,000 is part of May report showing buyers are busy. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The average home sold in Midland County during the month of May was on the verge of $400,000, according to the Texas A&M Real Estate Center. The Real Estate Center showed the average price in May shattered the previous record for a month, $389,000, in August 2022. It also extended a pair of streaks. First, it was the third straight month that the average price for a home sold topped $380,000. Second, May was the 57th straight month that the average price for a home sold in Midland County topped $300,000, a streak that goes back to September 2018. Texas A&M also reported that the median price for a home sold in May reached $335,000, which was the second highest total in 2023, and extended the streak to 24 months that the price of a home sold in Midland County reached $300,000. Midland's median price for a home sold again dominated the totals from counties around West Texas. Other median prices included $272,000 in Randall County, $225,000 in Lubbock, $251,000 in Ector, $242,000 in Tom Green, and $230,000 in Taylor County. The number of homes sold in May also rebounded. The Real Estate Center showed 257 homes sold in Midland County. That total was a 24% increase from 207 in April and marked the first time since 2019 that the number of homes sold in May was greater than April. Quote, "There are 340 properties under contract," realtor Victoria Prince wrote last week. "That is a significant increase. Homes are selling." Prince stated the number of homes sold or closed over the previous 30 days was 221. Quote, "The market is busier," Prince wrote. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center showed inventory also increased from 418 in April to 497 in May. The 2.1 months of inventory in Midland County was the second lowest in West Texas, trailing over 2.1 months in Randall County. A&M also reported that the total dollar volume of homes sold in May reached $102 million. May 2023 was the 10th month since at least 2011 that dollar volume topped $100 million. National Weather Service says heat relief is coming to Midland. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. Temperature relief is on the way to Midland. The National Weather Service reported this week that after record-breaking temperatures, high pressure will move to the east and more normal temperatures in the mid to upper 90s will return to the area. Quote, "A shift in the upper pattern will bring cooler, although still warm, temperatures and increase precipitation chances this weekend," the National Weather Service reported. Temperatures will return to near normal in the 90s beginning Saturday, and afternoon storms will be possible Friday and beyond. While this is a cool down from the extreme heat we've been experiencing, these weekend temperatures will still be warm, and you should still take precautions like limiting time outdoors and drinking plenty of water. End quote. Temperatures at or near 100 degrees are expected Thursday and Friday. It is worth noting that the high temperature in Midland on Sunday, 93 degrees, is almost 20 degrees down from the high temperature on Monday, 111 degrees. An end to the heat wave Friday and into the weekend. After record-breaking temperatures, high pressure will shift east and more normal temperatures in the mid to upper 90s return. Storm chances also possible this weekend with the pattern shift. What we can expect? An end to the 100-degree temperatures, possibly beginning Saturday. Areas along the river valleys may still see triple digits. Precipitation possible each afternoon and evening beginning Friday. What we still don't know, how low temperatures will be, extent of precipitation, location, and timing. Small bites. Sneak peek at Curbside Bistro Midland. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The hype for Curbside Bistro's Midland location is about to flood the tall city, and with good reason. Chopped champion Alejandro Barrientos only needed 2 months to get the former Mr. Chip's Kitchen establishment reformatted to fit his laid-back hip-hop neon food joint vibe. Bringing the same beloved energy with him from the OG in Odessa, the chef filled the expansion with graffiti done by local artist Dico Uno and Jerry Colazzo Jr. While he perfected the menu, his right-hand woman, Chantel Ramirez, crafted a Curbside Bistro cocktail menu featuring both alcoholic and non-alcoholic beauties. Together, they've trained staff, installed decor, kept absurdly late hours, and formed the city's next number one place to be. Hot Bites. The menu will be the same as in Odessa, but there's a few dishes of note that simply blew my mind at first bite. Note, I don't eat red meat, so only chicken dishes will be listed below. But don't worry, the West Texas known burgers and pulled pork sandwiches will be available at the Midland location. Macaroni grilled cheese. 2 pieces of large buttery toast hold together an entire serving of mac and cheese, usually topped with a heaping of bacon or pulled pork. Good for both kids and adults, the fresh ingredients take the two classic dishes to the next level. Plus, you're guaranteed to have leftovers. Buffalo fries. This side option is a whole meal on its own. A nice made-in-house balanced buffalo sauce, not too vinegary and not just hot, covers both fries and chicken strips. Then Chef Alejandro drizzles his homemade cilantro ranch on top, the perfect combination of a cool, creamy finish with a splash of heat. Curbside Bistro fries. Spicy ketchup and cilantro ranch lay on top of a bed of fries. Although they sound slightly unappetizing, they're a top seller. Chef Alejandro said when he first made the creation, people weren't sure if they wanted anything on their fried potatoes, but after one bite, customers started asking for extra sauce on the side. Buffalo chicken sliders. Sauce-drenched meat, coated with a slice of melted cheese and pickles, sits between two fluffy toasted buns. For me, this dish takes the top spot. Juicy, tender, and perfectly fried, the flavors from the buffalo sauce, cheese, and pickles harmonize for a crunchy, slightly tangy experience unlike any other. Each slider meal comes with 2 sliders and a side, making it one of the biggest options at Curbside Bistro. Jalapeno corn poppers. Tiny chunks of seeded jalapeno and pieces of corn sit inside a sphere of pancake-like batter, deep-fried and paired with the iconic cilantro ranch. The syrup and sugar in the batter, along with the sweetness of the corn, cause the jalapeno spice to yin and yang, ultimately forming an appetizer completely manageable for even the most sensitive palates. Cold sips. Besides a fountain drink station, Curbside Bistro Midland will feature a bar equipped with canned beer, only canned for recycling purposes, and an extensive cocktail and mocktail menu. Each cocktail takes the name from a hip-hop song, while mocktails take song names from sober hip-hop artists. Some mocktails include Love Yours, a light, refreshing dragon fruit drink with tajin on the rim, named after the J. Cole song, and Embrace the Martian, a nightcap with a slightly tart and tangy taste created by the dark tart cherries used, named after the Crookers song. Besides offering a good quality non-alcoholic option for guests, bringing health benefits into the mocktails was also important to Ramirez, so she searched high and low for ingredients with low or no added sugars and preservatives while researching natural effects of fruits and plants. Curbside Bistro also has paired with Tall City Brewing Company to create a special Michelada lager for the restaurant. Overall vibes. From the bright open spaces of the two indoor dining rooms to the AC and heat-equipped patio, there's no denying the good atmosphere of Curbside Bistro. Yet, the true beauty lies in the community-focused, humble attitude found in both Chef Alejandro and Chantel. To them, the restaurant is more than a business, it's a home. Every Midlander who walks through the doors can expect to be treated like family. Whether you're at the ordering counter, the bar on the patio, or even the parking lot, you may arrive a stranger, but you'll leave as a friend. Other info. Chef Alejandro says he plans to have a few soft openings, but will continue to create confidence in his team before announcing a grand opening to the public. To be the first to know, follow Curbside Bistro at facebook.com/curbsidebistro2014. Operating hours will be 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, 607 North Colorado Street.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, June 29th, 2023. Happenings. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, June 30th through July 1st. By Morgan Taylor Thomas. Enjoy an early evening homegrown concert. Head downtown to Centennial Park for the next Music in the Park edition, a free-to-the-public concert series featuring local musicians. This week, multi-genre duo Bo and Mia Z will showcase their unplugged retro classics to the Midland community. On site will be Rock and Roll Snow, serving up ice-cold sweet treats before the show. Friday, snow cones at 6 p.m., music from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at 200 West Wall. Embrace your inner Picasso. Looking for an interactive start to your summer crafting? The Studio by Kids and Canvas will host a wood and wine painting sipping party, filled with patriotic stencils for all your pre-fourth needs. Guests will get to choose between a flag-shaped door hanger or a wood plank door sign, Although a flag outline and USA is the theme, guests are welcome to customize their painting however they see fit. Of course, there will be glitter and more for styling details. BYOB. Register at thestudiomtx.com/event-calendar by clicking on the event. Saturday, 7 to 9 p.m. at 3211 West Wadley, Suite 5. Ease the heat with a summertime drink. Known for its deliciously themed series, Tall City Brewing Company will unveil the tap room's first installment in the summer camp series this weekend. The IPA series will feature three never-before-seen drinks throughout the month, one of which is an IPA that has never been brewed in West Texas. The Kitchen by Lori and Frynatics will be on-site serving up hot plates. Saturday, doors open at 11 a.m. at 3303 West Golf Course. What's Up with Midland by Morgan Taylor Thomas. At the Blue Door, Clueless Trivia, Thursday. At the Bush Convention Center, Celebration of the Arts, July 21st through 23rd. At Cafe at the Gardens, Market at the Gardens, Saturday. At Centennial Park, Music in the Park, Friday, July 14th. Star Spangled Salute, July 4th. At The Destination, Friday Night Live, The Day Trips, Friday. Tejano Thirsty Thursday, July 6th. Friday Night Live, Croakin' Toads, July 7th. Karaoke Night, July 13th. Open Mic Night, July 20th. Friday Night Live, Rodney Dunn and the Lost Frijoles Band, July 21st. Scotty Alexander Band, July 22nd. Bring Your Own Blues Open Blues Jam, July 27th. Friday Night Live, Rita Cappuccina e Animo, July 28th. Jake Bush, July 29th. At Earth, Body and Soul. Walk-in tarot reading every Tuesday. Walk-in Reiki energy clearing every Wednesday. Self Live Spell Jar Make and Take Event, Thursday. Aura Photography, Saturday. Tea and Tarot Social, July 7th. Creating Crystal Grids, July 13th. Angel Work 101, July 28th. At the Horseshoe, The Outpour Gathering, July 8th. West Texas Blowout Part 1, July 15th. Silver Spur Trade Show, July 29th and 30th. At Micro Market, Downtown Market, Saturday. At Museum of the Southwest, Downtown Midland Farmers Market every Saturday. Summer Sunday Lawn Concert Series, July 9th, 16th, 23rd, and 30th. Sci Friday, Independence Day, Friday. At Tall City Brewing Company, Summer Camp Beer Series, Saturday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, Cinema Under the Stars, Mighty Ducks, July 9th. Latin Queens and Comedy Kings, July 14th. Jackson Browne, July 15th. Abba Fab, July 21st. Kenny Wayne Shepherd, July 23rd. Puppy Pals Live from America's Got Talent, July 24th. ...2023 Star Spangled Salute, presented by Pioneer Natural Resources. Tuesday, July 4th. Downtown Midland. Free admission. Fireworks, live music, children's parade, family fun zone, food and local vendors, beer garden. On the net, www.4thinmidland.com.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, June 29th. Ricardo Cobus, age 63, passed away June 16th at Midland Memorial Hospital after a lengthy battle with cancer. There will be a Celebration of Life Memorial on July 1st at the American Legion, 501 Veterans Air Park Lane, from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. for family and friends. He was born December 27, 1959, in Midland, to Gabino and Flora Cobos. He graduated from Midland High School and was a member of the Mighty Bulldog Band. He enlisted in the U.S. Air Force, where he spent time in Italy. Rick enjoyed coaching flag football, Little League baseball, and several semi-pro football teams, including Midland West Texas Pride. Rick is survived by his wife, Dorothy Cobos, son, Gabriel Cobos, grandson, Christopher Cobos, granddaughter, Anna Cobos, stepson, Richard Edmonds, and wife, Marianne, daughters, Sophia and Ashley, Randy's daughters, Kendall Edmonds Long and Kylie Edmonds, two brothers, Jesse Cobos and wife Linda from Hearst, Texas, Gilberto Cobos and wife Eloise from Bryan, Texas, four sisters, all from Midland, Laura Hernandez and husband Leonard, Angela Sanchez, Yolanda Belazzi, and Rosalinda Cobos. He was preceded in death by his parents, by infant brother Little Gilbert, half-brother Jose Luis Brito, stepson Randy Edmonds, and two nephews. In lieu of flowers, you can make a donation to the American Cancer Society or a charity of your choice. David Earl Boone, age 54, of Midland, passed away on June 19th. In keeping with his wishes, cremation services have been arranged. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Emiliano George Murillo of Midland passed away on June 12th. A visitation will be held at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel Thursday, June 29th, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. Chapel services will be held Friday, June 30th, at 10 a.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel at 1502 North La Mesa Road. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Juanes Groom, a beloved resident of Midland, passed away on Monday, June 26th, at the age of 91, surrounded by her loving family. She was a cherished mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, who will be deeply missed by all who knew her. The memorial service to celebrate the life of Juanez Groom will be held at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, located at 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland, on Friday, June 30th at 10 a.m. Prior to the service, a visitation vigil will take place on Thursday, June 29th, from 6 to 8 p.m., also at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home. Nancy Burleson Rapp of Midland passed away peacefully at her home on June 23, 2023, at the age of 65. Funeral services will be at 10 a.m. July 12th at Ellis Resthaven Funeral Home at Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland. Teresa J. Murphy, age 65, of Midland, passed away on June 21st. In keeping with her wishes, cremation services have been arranged. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, June 29th. ECISD leaders presenting at National Conference. This week, leaders from Ector County ISD's Curriculum and Instruction Division are not only present, but are also presenters at the NWEA Fusion Conference, which draws an audience of educators from across the globe. This year's theme of this conference is Rise, Build, Thrive. ECISD's use of the NWEA MAP, Measure of Academic Success, assessment has shown quite a bit of success, and that earned the invitation to present at this conference. On Wednesday afternoon, ECISD Associate Superintendent of Curriculum and Instruction Lilia Nunez and Executive Director of Curriculum and Instruction Lisa Wills joined FEV Tutor in showcasing how the district's use of high-impact tutoring helped fill in students' achievement gaps coming out of COVID. The model featured the use of NWEA MAP, Measure of Academic Progress, growth results, and how those can and should be used to personalize tutoring plans for each student. Thursday, Nunez and Wills will deliver a session on the broader implications and possibilities when it comes to using the NWEA MAP assessment. A news release said, "It was the key measurement tool for high-impact tutoring, and it also drives other initiatives like teacher incentive allotment designations, the opportunity culture staffing model, and the implementation of blended learning. In all of these areas, student growth is the key, and the MAP assessment has proven to be an accurate tool for measuring student progress. We are excited to share the good news of ECISD with school districts across the country so that they can learn from the work that we're doing and can improve outcomes for the children within their own school system," ECISD Superintendent Scott Murray said. Council slashes funding to Meals on Wheels Food Bank. The Odessa City Council awarded roughly $4.5 million in community development block grants, hotel motel tax money, and general fund money Tuesday night during a lengthy meeting where various causes pleaded their cases. The city had received CDBG requests totaling nearly $1.3 million from such organizations as the West Texas Food Bank, Permian Basin Mission Center, Meals on Wheels, Hollingsworth Head Start, Family Promise, and the Elderly and Disabled Lawn Mowing Program. It had $971,501 to allocate, and only one of the 10 organizations received exactly what they requested. The Permian Basin Mission Center received $18,000. The two programs that fared the worst Tuesday night were Meals on Wheels and the West Texas Food Bank. Meals on Wheels only received $15,000 of the $77,233 it requested, and the West Texas Food Bank received $10,000 of the $82,000 it requested. Odessa City Councilman Steve Thompson said he's unsure why his fellow council members didn't want to contribute more to the programs, both of which he described as very worthy causes. "I could see that I was not going to get support to get a consensus," Thompson said. "Something is better than nothing." The other city council members didn't respond to an email seeking comment. Meals on Wheels Executive Director Craig Stoker provided a statement following the meeting. "While I am certainly disappointed that less than 20% of the Meals on Wheels of Odessa asked was funded, I understand that the city has other obligations to fund, and I'm grateful for the amount they did choose to invest in our organization," Stoker said. He went on to say that prior to leaving council chambers, he received several pledges to help make up the funding difference. "The clients we serve will also benefit from the city programs funded tonight, and I am pleased to see the council supporting other programs designated to help the often forgotten senior population. Also, I know our partnerships with other hunger relief organizations like the West Texas Food Bank will help fill the funding gap," Stoker said. Stoker said he'd like to get the city more involved in Meals on Wheels. "I am inviting the members of the council and the mayor to volunteer with our program and maybe even get the city to adopt a route. This invitation also extends to the citizens of Odessa, where we remind you that it only takes 1 hour a month to make a difference in a senior's life," Stoker said in his statement. To donate or learn more about volunteering, please visit mowo.org. Libby Campbell, executive director of the West Texas Food Bank, was disappointed but not surprised by the council's decision. "We are always saddened to get less than what we've asked for. We do put a lot of thought into those asks about what we need to be able to serve the community, but we also understand that the city of Odessa and the city council has limited funds, and there's lots of other organizations that need resources too," Campbell said. "The West Texas Food Bank is extremely blessed that we have such great support from our community, from our corporate donors, from individuals, from different organizations that really help us every day be able to do our work that's needed within the communities." The city's homeowner rehabilitation, reconstruction, and home demolition program received $745,000 of the $835,836 it requested. How the others fared. Hollingsworth Head Start, $75,000 out of $110,000. City Short-Term Rental Assistance, $75,000 out of $115,000. Elderly Disabled Lawn Mowing Program, $15,501 of $20,000. Family Promise, $18,000 of $20,000. The following also received funds from the city's general fund: Children's Miracle Network, $50,000 of $50,000. Odessa Crime Stoppers, $65,000 of $65,000. Permia Care, $90,000 of $90,000. Young Professionals of Odessa, $10,000 of $48,800. Odessa's Lions Club, West Texas Folk Festival, $10,000 of $20,000. Odessa Lions Club 4th of July Parade, $5,000 of $5,000. Odessa Teen Court, $50,000 of $72,260. Council members Denise Swanner and Mark Mata recluse themselves from the teen court discussions. Program coordinator Rebecca Grisham fired Swanner from her position as assistant coordinator earlier this year, and Mata serves on the program's board. Grisham said Wednesday morning she suspected her firing of Swanner led to the council's funding decision. "I'm very disappointed, and as far as the impact on the program, our entire budget of $126,000, and with any nonprofit, the bulk of that is salaries," Grisham said. "That's $22,000 hit will come from salaries, and we'll have to find a way to close the gap." In addition to herself, Teen Court has a new part-time coordinator, Grisham said. 60% of Teen Court's funding comes from the city, and the remaining 40% comes from the Ector County Independent School District, which has already gone through its budget process, Grisham said. She intends to speak with her board and auditor to see how they can close the funding gap. Grisham said she has reached out to the council members prior to Tuesday night's meeting to educate them about Teen Court and the other educational opportunities they provide kids, but didn't hear back from most of them. "She's just disappointed. This isn't about me. It's more of a disappointment that the council was not celebrating 40 years of Teen Court with us yesterday. This program has done so much for our community in 40 years and so much for the teenagers," she said. "It's just very disheartening to not have the support of our council. This is the first time in 40 years we are not fully funded. Teen Court now offers educational classes on such things as fentanyl and finances. In addition," Grisham said, "they've created the Knowledge Empowers Youth Drivers Education Program at Medical Center Hospital. Every 6 weeks or so, teenagers 14 through 18 are invited to participate in a six-hour program with their parents that is designated to help them make better choices when getting behind the wheel. The following received hotel motel tax funds: Black Cultural Council of Odessa, $65,000. Commemorative Air Force High Sky Wing, $45,000. Downtown Odessa, $425,000. Showbiz West Texas Viva La Fiesta, $20,000. Junior Jacks Youth Hockey, $15,000. Junior League of Odessa, $15,000. Odessa Arts, $475,000. Discover Odessa, $1.2 million. Discover Odessa Sports Events Recruitment Program, $100,000. Odessa Jackalopes, $35,000. Odessa Lynx, $5,000. Odessa Parks Fall Festival, $10,000. Odessa Parks Star Bright Village, $130,000. Permia Care Family Resiliency Center, $5,000. Permian Basin Fair and Expo, $130,000. Ratliff Ranch Golf Links, $30,000. Sand Hills Stock Show and Rodeo, $150,000. Tejano Super Show, $0. UTPB Athletics, $55,000. West Texas Track Club AAU National Qualifier Track Meet, $40,000. West Texas Track Club, $50,000. White Pool House Friends, $40,000. West Texas Worship Conference, $35,000. West Texas Football, $15,000. No one from the Tejano Super Show appeared at the meeting to plead their case. In other action Tuesday, the City Council indefinitely tabled a discussion about removing Discover Odessa from under the auspices of the Chamber of Commerce. When asked why he put the item on the agenda, City Councilman Chris Haney said, "I had to do something to get something, and the matter has since been resolved." Discover Odessa, which is overseen by Director Monica Schnauer, provides visitors information about things to do in Odessa, attractions, events, hotels, and restaurants. Chamber President Renee Earls said she had no idea why the item was placed on the agenda, but noted a large contingent of people had shown up at the meeting to address the council on the matter. City Attorney Dan Jones also told the council Tuesday night they need to start considering what should be on the board of a nonprofit, a new nonprofit foundation the city is setting up to accept donations for a proposed $50 million sports complex in the Parks Bell Ranch area. They also need to consider a name for the foundation, he said. Lastly, the council informally agreed to sell the old fire station number 6 as is rather than spend more than $365,000 on asbestos removal before leasing it. With second special session underway, Texas lawmakers offer opening property tax cut proposals. In the opening hours of a special legislative session, Texas lawmakers quickly made their opening pitches Wednesday to break a long-standing impasse over how to cut Texans' property taxes and reach a deal. A bargain over how to deliver more than $12 billion in new property tax cuts has evaded Texas' top Republicans for months, as leaders of the House and Senate have been at odds over whether homeowners or businesses should benefit more from tax cuts. Texas landowners pay some of the highest property taxes in the nation. House Speaker Dade Phelan and House lawmakers are so far sticking with a proposal to take all $12.3 billion lawmakers set aside this year for tax cuts and send it to school districts so they can lower their tax rates, a method called tax rate compression. Texas homeowners and business owners alike would see their tax rates fall under the House proposal, but the biggest benefit would flow to businesses and wealthier homeowners. The House Ways and Means Committee, that chamber's key tax writing panel, unanimously approved the measure Wednesday. It's unclear when the full House will take up the bill. The House next meets on Friday, but is expected to quickly adjourn until July 3rd. State Representative Morgan Meyer, a Dallas Republican and the House's chief tax cut crafter who authored the bill, declined to comment after the vote. In the Senate, a $12.7 billion tax cut package that includes targeted tax breaks for homeowners and businesses, money for school districts to lower their tax rates, and stricter revenue caps for school districts sailed through the Senate Finance Committee and the full chamber by unanimous vote. "I can't think of a better property tax bill that you'd possibly pass," Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said after the vote. State Senator Roland Gutierrez, Democrat San Antonio, tacked on an amendment to the bill that would give teachers supplemental pay for the 2023-24 school year. The amendment, which took about an hour and a half to broker, would give teachers in urban school districts an extra $2,000 and those in rural districts an extra $6,000. Senator Joan Huffman, Republican Houston, the chamber's chief budget writer, stressed that the payments are not permanent. The bill would cost $3.2 billion out of the state's budget for the next 2 years. Near the end of the regular session in May, Gutierrez and a handful of other lawmakers refused to vote for the new 2024-25 spending plan because while it earmarked more than $5 billion for education, it did not set aside funds specially for teacher pay raises, a priority for both parties at the beginning of the session. Those raises were tied to separate legislation creating a private school voucher program, but the House refused to support vouchers, which use state education dollars to pay for private school tuition. Teachers' pay raises died with the voucher program, but they are likely to be considered again when Governor Greg Abbott calls a special session on both issues later this year, as he said he will do. What we've just seen here is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to not only pass a record property tax relief bill, but add a tremendous benefit for teachers, said State Senator Paul Bettencourt, a Houston Republican and author of the bill. This is a huge win for Texas taxpayers. It's astonishing work. I've never been prouder to be a member of the Texas Senate. The amendment triggers the question of whether it will help or hurt the bill's chances, either with the lower chamber or with Abbott, who did not have teacher pay on the call for the special session. It'd be a hell of a time for anybody to veto this, Gutierrez said. Our teachers are demanding this. They should not be held hostage to anybody's political ambitions. Abbott's office did not immediately respond to a request for comment. It's unclear whether the House, which has been at odds with the Senate over how to lower property taxes, would accept the Senate's approved bill. Patrick said he was hopeful the House would pass the Senate's bill when lawmakers return next Wednesday and conclude the special session. He also said he asked for a meeting with Phelan to broker a deal. I'm looking forward to a meeting, Patrick said. Whenever that is, I believe we can get this resolved quickly. Lawmakers have twice failed to strike a compromise before running out of the clock. Once, when the legislature's regular session ended in late May, and again on Tuesday, when time ran out on a special session called by Abbott. Abbott, who made cutting property tax cuts a cornerstone of his reelection campaign last year, called lawmakers back to the Capitol this week to end the stalemate and send him a tax cut bill. On Wednesday, tax cut writers picked up where they left off, unveiling familiar proposals on how to cut schools' district property taxes, the biggest slice of a property owner's tax bill. In the Senate, Patrick and tax cut proponents held firm on giving homeowners a more substantive chunk of the proposed tax breaks. The $12.7 billion tax cut package laid out Wednesday by Bettencourt, Patrick's go-to person on property taxes, would provide targeted tax relief to Texas homeowners in the form of an increase in the state's homestead exemption on school district taxes, which is the amount of a home's value that can't be taxed to pay for public schools. That exemption would go from $40,000 to $100,000 under the Senate plan. More than two-thirds of the $12.3 billion in the House bill for property tax cuts would go to school districts to lower their tax rate. The Senate proposal, essentially the same package senators put up in the waning days of the first special session, would also put tighter revenue caps on school districts, a way to further drive down tax rates. More businesses would get a break on their state franchise taxes. A state levy businesses pay on their revenue under the Senate proposal. Senators want to expand the pool of businesses that receive a state franchise tax exemption in a bid to provide tax relief to small business owners. As a result, 67,000 business owners would not have to pay that tax. I'm at a loss to explain why we're even having an argument, Bettencourt told the state, the Senate Finance Committee on Wednesday. Abbott initially threw his weight behind the House proposal, which pressures school districts to reduce their tax rate in late May, touting it as a better way to ultimately eliminate school maintenance and operation taxes, which make up the bulk of a school property tax bill, and pay for school expenses like teacher salaries. Some conservatives have sought to get rid of the tax altogether. Abbott has held firm on his desire to see all compression approach and a tax cut proposal that puts Texas on a path to ultimately eliminating the maintenance and operation tax, but he appears to soften his stance Tuesday when he called lawmakers back to the Capitol, signing what he'd open to an alternative proposal should the House and Senate agree on one. Legislators have less than 30 days to strike a compromise on tax cuts, but they also face an August deadline to get tax cut ballot measure on the November ballot. Voters would have to approve portions of the House and Senate packages in a constitutional amendment election. Frustration among lawmakers over the continued absence of a deal became increasingly apparent Wednesday. I hope that there'll be some give and take between the House and Senate, and we will be able to get something done and agreed upon and passed, said State Representative Chris Turner, an Arlington Democrat and member of the House Ways and Means Committee, and that the House and Senate and the governor can do what they weren't able to do in the first special session, in the regular session, which is reach an agreement and actually get something for the voters to approve in November. That angst was felt in the Senate, too. This seems like a rerun of a movie that we've seen before, said State Senator Juan Chuy Hinojosa, a McAllen Democrat, ahead of the Senate vote Wednesday. Portraits by Midland Humane Coalition Rescues. The Midland Humane Coalition is hosting an online art auction July 1st through 2nd featuring Portraits by Rescues. These dogs put their paws, lickers, and snouts to good use to create original artwork or portraits just for you. Show your support for Midland Humane Coalition Rescues by bidding on a portrait that catches your eye or captures your heart, and give a pet or portrait a home. This is a fundraiser to support Midland Humane Coalition rescue work. Bidding starts on July 1st. Visit tinyurl.com/3DYVTW27. TxDOT to spread awareness on drunk driving deaths at Rockhounds game. TxDOT will have an informational table on drunk driving deaths at the Rockhounds game at 7 p.m. Thursday, June 29th. Information will be available on drunk driving, making good choices, and being safe. Drunk driving deaths increased again last year in Texas, and TxDOT is urging all Texans to save lives and reverse this trend by choosing a sober ride. Montoya's family was destroyed when a drunk driver ran through a stop sign and T-boned her parents' car. The crash instantly killed her father and her 15-year-old brother. Her mother survived, but she spent a week in the ICU. The driver of the other car had been drinking with his coworkers before getting behind the wheel. Instead of arranging a sober ride, he's now in prison, while Mons' family has been left broken because of his reckless choice. It's a tragic but disturbingly common story. 1,162 people were killed in drunk driving crashes in Texas in 2022, a 2% increase from the year before. That's equivalent to 3 people dying every day of the year. TxDOT is sharing stories like Mons's as a part of its Faces of Drunk Driving campaign. Through those stories, TxDOT hopes to remind Texans that behind every statistic is a person from our community, a brother or sister, a parent, a neighbor, a friend. Last year, 26% of all traffic deaths in Texas involved a drunk driver. Those crashes led to one person dying every 7 hours and 32 minutes. The Faces of Drunk Driving campaign reminds us that driving under the influence can have serious and often irreparable physical, emotional, and financial consequences for survivors and offenders alike. Beyond the all-too-real possibilities of taking a life, a DWI/DUI can be expensive and can lead to difficulty finding or keeping a job, loss of trust from loved ones, and a lifetime of regret. TxDOT issues I-20 traffic alert. The Texas Department of Transportation issued a traffic alert Wednesday that from 8 p.m. to 5 a.m. Wednesday, June 28th, westbound main lane traffic on I-20 near Midkiff Bridge will shift to the service road area. In advance of this shift, there will be alternating left and right westbound lane closures from Cotton Flat to just west of Midkiff Road for striping operations. Watch for slow-moving traffic and construction vehicles. Hashtag be safe, drive smart. Hashtag end the streak, Texas.
Here is the Dear Abby column that appeared in the Midland Reporter Telegram on Thursday, June 29th. Aunt is afraid that helping nephew may carry high cost. Dear Abby, I come from a very close family, and I am the rock of the family. If someone needs help, I'm the one they come to. Recently, my nephew has been in a downward spiral because of drugs. He is now in jail. He is only 19 and was always an amazing young man, but he started on the wrong road after witnessing his father take his own life a few years ago. When he gets out of jail, he wants to start over, come live with me, go to rehab, and begin a new life. My problem is my fiancé. He does not want to help my nephew, especially if he will be on house arrest. I know my nephew's potential, and I can't throw him away and refuse to help. How do I get my fiancé to understand this without jeopardizing our relationship? Signed, Caring Aunt in Indiana. Dear Aunt, it may be a challenge considering the role you have assumed as the rock of the family. What your nephew witnessed was horrific. Compounding the tragedy is the fact that he didn't receive counseling for the trauma and turned instead to drugs. I understand your desire to take in your nephew, and I also understand your fiancé's reluctance to have a substance-addicted relative under house arrest in your, and his, I assume, home. Perhaps you could agree to a compromise. Lock up your valuables and give your nephew a temporary trial with the understanding that if he lapses, he goes straight to rehab at a halfway house. You could then support his recovery in other ways, like helping him find a group such as Survivors of Suicide or one that supports sufferers of PTSD. Dear Abby, I'm a professional travel advisor who works on commission. Many of my clients are friends or relatives, and I sincerely appreciate their patronage. Many years ago, my husband and I became friends with a delightful couple. We patronized the husband's business, and they introduced us to many of their friends. We sponsored them into a social club, and they made many new friends because of it. We have entertained them in our home numerous times for private dinners and summer pool parties. They booked an inexpensive cruise through me once. Unfortunately, a few years ago, there was a disagreement, and we prevailed. In retribution, they distanced themselves from us. They travel with many of the friends they introduced us to, and since then, the entire group arranges their travel through someone else, although they still accept our dinner and party invitations. It's distressing that the spite of one couple has soured our relationship with two other couples who apparently feel closer to them. I consider the others to be collateral damage, and we have distanced ourselves from them too. Am I too sensitive? Signed, Traveling Away in Texas. Dear Traveling, I don't think so. As you stated, these people were always closer to the couple who distanced themselves from you after the disagreement that they were with you. It may be disappointing, but it isn't a personal loss. A loss of income, yes, but that's business, and business is replaceable. It's time to start cultivating some new friends, and this time, don't mix business with pleasure, which, as you have learned the hard way, can be risky.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.